All right, I hope everybody has their study sheets. The title of our message today and our study today is the Song of Moses. Do you realize there are two songs named in the Word of God specifically? This is one of them. And the other one we're going to sing also. I just want to show you that because a lot of times in Exodus chapter 15, you'll see the title, the Song of Redemption, which it is. But what does the Bible call it? Turn with me real quick and keep your finger here in chapter 15 of Exodus. But in Revelation chapter 15 and verse 3. Because here's where we get the names of two songs that are in the Word of God. In chapter 15 and verse 3, it says, "And they sing the song of Moses," see, Song of Moses, that's what we're studying, "the servant of God," and here's the other one, "the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty, just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints." So here we have in chapter 15 of the book of Revelation, right before, as the vile judgments are being taken care of and coming down onto the earth, the people who are in heaven are singing these two songs. Now, the Song of the Lamb, Pastor Frank has showed us last week on Sunday about what we were going to be singing in chapter 4 and 5 of the book of Revelation, as we sing unto the Lord and sing unto the Lamb. So this is where it's named. This is where we get the name of the songs. All right, enough of that. Let's go back to chapter 15, the book of Exodus. As you, most of you were here, you were here and we started this study in Exodus all the way back in chapter 1, and we kind of followed the Israelites as they came out of the land of Egypt and they came to the Red Sea, then they crossed the Red Sea as they were being pursued by the Egyptians. The only thing they were looking at and depending on is that they make it across is what the Lord had said, His word, that He would deliver them. And we're going to look at some of the passages today, kind of refresh our memories of what we've learned in the past. So as soon as the Israelites reached that shore, as they were going through the Red Sea on dry ground, all of them were on that shore. The waters came and the waters went ahead and killed the whole Egyptian army. God did what the Israelites couldn't do or anybody else could do. The Egyptians thought they could follow the Israelites and go through and get them and have them to come back to slavery. But God had different ideas and God went ahead and He killed them all. When we come to Exodus chapter 15, it's the song of victory that they're singing and they're praising God for. And this is the interesting thing. Look at chapter 15 in verse 1, and it says this: "Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord." Now that's very important, unto the Lord. Most of us sing our hymns and stuff like that. We just sing. Who are we singing to? We don't even think about it. We should be singing unto the Lord. This is what you see here in Acts chapter 15. In Exodus chapter 15, saying, "I will sing unto the Lord, for He had triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath He thrown in the sea." So the date here, it's given here. When we look at it, it's not a physical date, but it's an experience of a time of life that they went through here. It's a spiritual experience that is being talked about here, and it should be a concern because they were delivered, they were redeemed, they had redemption, they were freed from the Egyptians. And let's look at ourselves. When we asked Christ to be our Savior, and we believed on Him with all of our heart, we were saved. we were saved. That was a spiritual experience we went through. God changed our life. We were born again. He gave us a different life so that we could glorify Him and we can actually have a relationship with Him. Now, I want us to go back a little bit and look at some scriptures that we already went ahead and studied in the weeks before, just kind of tone us up a little bit of what's going back. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 5. Exodus chapter 5. And we're going to read verses 15 to 23. In Exodus chapter 5, starting at verse 15, notice what it says. Then the officers of the children of Israel came and cried unto Pharaoh, saying, Wherefore dealest thou with us with thy servants? Now let's hold on a minute. What is he talking about? I just don't want to pull it out of the middle here. The Lord told Moses, even further back than this, that when he went to Israel and the nation there and he would speak to them, that they would listen to him and what he said. In fact, in chapter 3, verse 18, God told him that. He says, as I send you back, and this is before, as he was coming back, he was met by Aaron. They went and God told him, go see Israel first and tell them that I'm going to work in their lives and I'm going to get them out of here. Not only did Moses tell Israel that, so they knew about it, but also Israel was told back in chapter 4 that what the Lord said to Moses. And so we'll look at that later on. So what did they do? They believed and they worshiped the Lord after they heard what he had said to Moses. See, the whole point of Israel going through all of this and coming to this point in time in chapter 15 was that they were complaining on the way. Before they were redeemed, before they were redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, they complained and they cried and out to the Lord, and they wanted to get freedom, but they were willing to understand what the Lord had to say for them. So what we did here in chapter 5 and verse 15, they are already put into a position where their labors are being heavily forced upon them, where they couldn't rely on the Egyptians to give them the straw, that they had to go out and get it themselves. Because Moses and Aaron went before Pharaoh and said, the Lord said, let my people go. And he didn't like that. And so he put a bigger and heavier burden upon them. If you want to notice something here, three times when these officers came before Pharaoh to plead the case, because it was over, no straw for you. And so he went ahead and put that in. So these taskmasters went ahead and they were beating these officers, or we would call them foremen today, over the people because of the fact that they were taken away from the work that they were supposed to be doing. So three times in verses 15 and 16, notice what they said, because they kind of were trying to persuade Pharaoh. In verse 15, here's what it says. It says, then the officers of the children of Israel came and cried unto Pharaoh, saying, Wherefore dealest thou thus with, notice the word, thy servants. So watch this, because three times in two verses, they're going to mention to Pharaoh, now remember, we're your servants. What are you doing this? Why are you making our burden a lot heavier? Verse 16. For there is no straw given unto thy servants, and they say to us, make brick, and behold, thy servants are beaten, but the fault is in thine own people. So this is what's going on here. With these officers coming before to try to get some leniency, and they weren't. Look at verse 17. But he said, Pharaoh said, ye are idle, ye are idle. Therefore ye say, let us go, do sacrifice to the Lord. Go therefore now and work, for there shall no straw be given you, yet you shall deliver the tale or the amount of bricks that they had. They had a quarter they had to have done. Verse 19. And the officers of the children of Israel, those are the foremen, did see that they were in evil case after it was said, ye shall not minish aught from your bricks of your daily task. Verse 20. And they met Moses and Aaron as they went out. So they went out of from Pharaoh's court. They went out, and who's standing there but Moses and Aaron? They were in before, and they wanted Pharaoh to release them. Pharaoh got all mad about it and said, nope, in fact, I'm going to make it harder because you are not doing the work you should be doing. So this is what we see. And he goes on to say, in verse 20, and they met Moses and Aaron, who stood in the way as they came forth from Pharaoh. Verse 21. And they said unto them, the Lord look upon you. Now remember, we're talking about complaining. They complained before they were redeemed, and while they're being working in the field and all, before the lamb, bang. They have more. They're now complaining before Pharaoh and before God about Moses and Aaron. It says, and they said unto them, the Lord look upon you and judge, because you have made our savor to be abhorred in the eyes of Pharaoh and the eyes of his servants, to put a sword in their hand to slay us. So what we're seeing here is the accusations that these foremen, but it's easier to call them foremen. Foremen are basically accusing Moses and Aaron that what they did is causing the people very much hardship. So what happens? Well, I think Moses learned through all this time that he was with the Lord is that when there is a problem, he turns to the Lord to find out what the problem is or how to resolve the problem. And that's a good thing for us to know also, because we have a lot of problems in our own lives. Some of them may be small, some of them may be big. But no matter what the case is, we are to turn to the Lord for each and every one. So Moses is turning to the Lord. Look at verse 22. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, Lord, where hast thou so evil? Why hast thou so evil entreated this people? Why is it that thou hast sent me? Again, Moses is asking a question. You know, he doesn't understand it, because the Lord had said he was going to go ahead and deliver them. And instead of delivering them, they got more harder work put upon them. For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in thy name, he had done evil to this people, neither hast thou delivered thy people at all. So Moses turned to the Lord, and he's questioning the Lord. And there's nothing wrong with asking the Lord questions what we don't understand. Why did you send me if you're not going to go ahead and deliver them up and rescue them like you said you would? And so that's what he's doing. He said, I don't understand it. I thought this was going to all play out. But the Lord has a plan, and he's going to find out. But here's a good thing. Every time they raised up their voice to cry out to the Lord heard what they were saying. He heard them and their cries. He not only heard their voice, but he heard the cries of their heart, as he does for you and for me. He knows what's going on in our heart. In way back in chapter 2 and verse 24, this is as it was playing out, and they lifted up their cries to the Lord. It says, and God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. Respect there simply means he took notice of them, and he was ready to go ahead with his plan and show them mercy and deliver them. In chapter 3 and verse 7 of Exodus, it says, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt. And God sees where you and I are and what we're going through and the afflictions that we have, whether it's physical or emotional, financial, marriage, whatever. He sees what we're going through. And have heard their cry by reasons of their taskmasters. What were the taskmasters? They were beating them because they were having a hard time keeping up the quota that they were required to do. For he says, for I know their sorrows. God knows your sorrow. God knows my sorrows that we have in our lives. But that's why we should come before him, and we should spend time before him and just release our heart to him and just talk with him and tell him what's on our mind. Yeah, he knows what's on our mind, but he wants to be included. You know, he wants to share in our lives. So what do we see this far going here? We see complaining, a lot of complaining, but there's no song. There's no happiness because they're still under the yoke of the Egyptians. Look at chapter 14. Chapter 14. And look at verses 11 and 12. Because here's another incident. When they were being pursued by Pharaoh. Verse 14 or verse 11 of chapter 14. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Complaint again. Wherefore hast thou dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. So again, there's a complaint. They're not satisfied with what God is doing or his plan. And you know, a lot of that we get involved in. But God has a plan for each and every one of our lives. And sometimes we don't agree with what's going on in our lives because we don't know what God is doing. And we don't know how he does things. But if we were in the Word, we could know his ways. And so that we understand that even though we don't like what's going on, we don't understand what's going on, God does. And that's the point. God does. And we need to have all these things going on in order for him to get us to the place where he wants us to go. So when we come to chapter 15, what we see here, there's no longer crying, complaining, groaning, but they're singing. You know what made the difference? The redemption made the difference. Now what we see, the redemption, is what we already saw back in the earlier where there was the sacrifice of the lamb, and the blood was put on the post, and they were released. The firstborn were dead that didn't have the blood on it. And so they were released and they were coming out. But what was happening? Yeah, they were released, but all of a sudden, here comes Pharaoh and his army. And we went over that. We saw how much, 600 chariots. And that's a lot of men, the two men per chariot. There were choice chariots and there were 600 other chariots. So there was a lot of men coming after them. So it's interesting because of the fact that they were redeemed by the blood, but yet they were pursued by Satan himself in the person of Pharaoh to try to get them back. And that's a picture of you and I. When we accept Christ as our Savior and we put our faith and trust in him and trust what the Scripture says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. We may go into a covenant with God, but that doesn't mean that we will not be harassed by Satan himself. Now, how do we know that? What do we do? Well, it's all in the book. It all comes down to how well do we know the book? Because Paul says, we're not ignorant of the devil's devices. Well, we will be if we don't know what the book says about it. And that's the problem. We don't know how the devil works. And you say, well, maybe he's putting all new things. No, he's not putting nothing new in there because everything he did before works. It's just that the people need to know and to understand what's going on, so where they can go and what they can do in order to not fall for his lies. So there was redemption by blood, but there was also redemption by power. And that's what you see here in chapter 15. The power is God destroying that Egyptian army by creating a miracle of splitting open the Red Sea and then having them go through on dry ground. And then when the Egyptians were following them and everybody was safe on shore, boom, down came the walls of water and they were all drowned. So the price was paid for their release, where they were delivered from slavery. The redemption here is by blood and by power. Now that was very interesting, because they saw now, with them Egyptians dead in the water, floating around and on shore, they would have no more problems from the Egyptians. If you and I would understand what God has done for us, we wouldn't fall for a lot of things that we fall and get entangled in our sins, you know, and have those besetting sins that also entangle us all the time. It's those, you want to call them pet sins that we allow in our life that we keep doing over and over and over and over. That's not right. God doesn't want us to do that. We want to live by what the book says. We have the power. Oh, we have the power. We have the Spirit of God within us. But we also have the Word of God, and that Word of God will give us the direction that we need. I can't even hear you.
You have to fast to break it.
Fasting, she said, helps to break Satan's attacks.
Oh yeah, there's a whole bunch of things that we can do. You know, fasting is one of them. You know. But it doesn't mean that we have to fast all the time, you know. There are things that we need to do that the Word already, God has spoken in His Word, that this is what we need to be doing. So that'll be up to us on how much we know. Now let's turn to chapter, Psalm 40. Psalm 40 and starting at verse 1. Some of you are familiar with this particular psalm. This is what is known as a messianic psalm. What does that mean? Simply means it's speaking of the work of the Messiah, what it would happen when he come. Psalm 40. We're going to use this as an illustration from David. David is saying, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me, and he heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock, and he established my goings. And he had put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God, and many shall see it, and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. There's a tremendously spiritual lesson here that we need to learn in chapter 15 of the book of Exodus, and also from here in chapter 40. So what is David saying? He's saying that God had put a new song in my mouth. Now, when did God cause David to sing this song? Well, it definitely wasn't in, when you look in chapter 1, he was already involved in something, and he says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined. So he inclined not right away. So he was waiting on the Lord. And that's something that you and I, that's, we call that patience. We need to have that with the Lord, because we pray and pray and pray, and sometimes he's not answering, but he's listening. He'll answer when the time is right. Because here in verse 1, he says, I waited patiently. You know that the Word of God speaks in a lot of different places about God's people waiting on the Lord. What do you do when you wait on the Lord? Do you just don't do nothing? No. Listen to what Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 25 says. It said, the Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. So when we're asking the Lord to help us, what we need to do is to let it there until he answers. Let it there. And continue to seek to look in the Word of God, so he might be answering something through the Word of God to each and every one of us. In Psalm 27 and verse 14, it says, "Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. Don't lose your confidence in the Lord. And he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." And the last one is Psalm 40 and verse 31. And this is a very familiar psalm, part of the psalm that we know. "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." So waiting on the Lord is us continuing to serve him. You know, what do we have in a restaurant? We have a waiter. What does a waiter do? He serves. And that's exactly what we have here, the picture here. We're waiting on the Lord for his answer to whatever we're asking him for, or directions, or something that needs to be done. And we are to continue on to serve him, to seek him, it says, and to be of good courage. Don't get discouraged, because that's one of the ploys that the devil himself will do. He'll get us discouraged because, well, God's not going to answer that prayer. God's not going to do this. God's not going to do that. God will do what he seems best, and that's where our faith and trust should lie, knowing that he will help us. Definitely help us. So he's talking about a spiritual experience here that David is going through at one point in his time, in his life, and he's looking unto the Lord, and he was in an impossible situation where he couldn't help himself. And it's similar like an experience that all of us have, especially before we were saved. And that's what we're looking at here. He says, "He brought me up of a horrible pit." We're all on our way to hell before we came to Christ. That's why we're told to go with the gospel to the people, to present it to them, to tell them the good news of what Jesus has done for them. And we tell them what he has done for us, and he can do the same thing for them if they would just turn to him and believe on him, as the scripture says. And he says, "He lifted us out of the miry clay." That clay is like a mud, a sticky mud. When you get stuck in there, you can't move. You can't do this and you can't do that. And some of it is slimy, where you keep slipping and sliding, and you can't get your feet going. "But he took me out of that. And he put my feet on the rock." Who's the rock? The Lord Jesus. Amen. That's what happens. When we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, he becomes our rock. We are on him. And then he said this in verse 3. Remember? He said this. He says, or actually in verse 3, he said, "And he put a new song." What was the thing happened when you got saved? You're praising the Lord. You're thanking the Lord. Now all of a sudden, the things that you hated before, the things of God, now you love. How do you explain that? That's the new birth taking place in our heart. Lord is doing a work in our heart that brings this out. And the more you and I study the Word of God, the more it's built in here, the more we break out into praise and thanksgiving unto the Lord. And that's what he wants. And then, you know, we would have went further. We could find out in verse 4, he said, Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust. Now, what does that mean? That means we're looking to the Lord. We're trusting him for what he has done for us and what he's going to do for us, because it's in the book. We know what he's going to do. So he says, "Blessed is that man who maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turns his eye to lies." So this is what David is saying to the people of God: trust in the Lord, rely on him, rest in him, let it with him, and he'll guide and direct us. Because at one time we were helpless, now we have an opportunity to go ahead and to serve him and to learn more and more as he conforms us to the image of Christ. So the Lord took him out of this pit that he was in, and the Lord took us out of the pit that you and I were in. And he set his feet upon a solid foundation. That's the rock. And he put our feet. What he was going through, you know, in an experimental way, experience way, we go through in a spiritual way. And David then began to sing. You know, he was called the sweet singer of Israel. And a lot of his psalms are expressing that. So what is he saying? The Lord has put a new song in my mouth. The Lord has put a new song in your mouth and in my mouth. And we're giving praise unto the Lord and thanks. You see, the deliverance that Israel experienced here at the Red Sea and what we experienced when we received Christ as our Savior and believed on Him, at that moment, God had given us a new song for rejoicing. And you know, he tells us actually that we should be singing. We should be bringing praise and thanksgiving unto Him. In Psalm 98 and 1, notice what it says. O sing unto the Lord a new song. For He had done marvelous things, and His right hand and His holy arm had gotten Him the victory. For the Lord had made known His salvation. His righteousness had He openly showed in the sight of the heathen. He had remembered His mercy and His truth toward the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise. Boy, I'm glad that's in there.
Amen.
Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. All the earth, make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. When is the last time we actually did that? I mean, even if we're home, but not like, I know we do that here, you know, but when do we break out in praise and thanksgiving to the Lord on our own? If that's not happening, maybe we should start doing that, because the Scripture is telling us we should be doing that. Allow Him to bring through from our heart praise and thanksgiving. Amen. Absolutely. Yeah. Amen.
The enemy hates that stuff.
It's awesome when you praise Him. It's the whole, everything changes.
It is. It is. You know, David says in the Psalms that he would praise the Lord three times a day, morning, noon, and in the evening. And in another place he says, I will praise you seven times. So David was a man of praise, praising God and thanking God. Because when you read the Psalms, that's what you see. That's what you read. You know, it's David's coming out in praise. You know, and that's what you and I should do, and not be afraid of it, to do that. You know, praise the Lord. But what are you praising the Lord for? Then you follow it up with what you're praising Him for. Because sometimes we just use that as a praise. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for what? Every time you look at praise for the Lord here in the Word of God, it's always for something that the Lord has done.
Amen.
You know, there's a reason for that. Amen. We just don't want to just throw it out there and just say praise the Lord, and you know, and that's it. So we want to be biblical, and that's what is biblical. Okay, let's go back to Exodus chapter 15. Notice the first verse again. It says, then. Then they what? They sang. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spoke, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for He had triumphed gloriously. You know, we are supposed to sing with songs and spiritual songs and hymns in our heart unto the Lord. And that's what Ephesians talks about. So we need to have that stuff going on. If not, we're just clogged up with too many other things. So we need to take a time and to praise the Lord for what He has done. And, you know, there's a difference between praising and thanking. Thanking the Lord is for what He has given to us, what He done for us. And praising the Lord is praising Him for who He is and what He does. And those are the differences. And you'll see that in the Word of God as you go through. So what did they praise the Lord for? I will sing unto the Lord, for He had triumphed gloriously. He got rid of the problem that they had, the serious problem. And that's what you and I, when God answers a prayer, when God delivers us from something that was really holding us back, we need to praise the Lord and praise Him for what he has done and helped us. Now, we don't have time for this, but back in Psalm 40, that's also a picture of the death and resurrection of Christ. So that's it. Like I said in the beginning, it was a messianic psalm. So that messianic means it was about also the Messiah. So David was going through something that the Messiah would be going through. And you look at it, and it's through His death, burial, and His resurrection spoken of there. And so it also has a picture of us. So when we look at these verses here in Exodus 15, there's 21 verses that are going to be part of this song. Now, some have divided this up to three stanzas. I'm going to divide it to two stanzas, make it a little bit easier. It's going to cover the same amount, but it's just not going to put them all in the different places. So the first stanza comprises the first 13 verses, and we're probably not going to get there today. We're going to probably take it over next week and finish through it. But the first stanza of that particular song here that we're going to be looking at has to do with the past. They're going to be singing about what the Lord had done in the past. The second stanza begins with verse 14 and goes to verse 21, and it has to do with the present and the future. Now, they're singing this song, they're saying these things, and it's all about the deliverance of Israel by the Lord. But here, it's going to spread throughout the land about what the Lord had done. You remember that in Joshua 2, verses 9 to 11 with Rahab. We have heard what the Lord has done unto you, and our hearts melted. So the word was out that the God of Israel is nobody to mess with. And He was taking care of His people, which were Israel. And so the news of Him as their God was being spread throughout the world. Now, another thing that's interesting here, and we'll look at this, and if you want to, this is a good exercise for you to do for this coming week. What happens is we see these different things going on. The word Lord, whether it's all capitals or small, capital L, is used many times in this particular song here. And I'm saying probably about, you know, 12 times, maybe a little bit more. It'd be good to underline that, and so we have an understanding of what it's all about, because it's all about the Lord. And notice, it's not about Moses. There's not one thing said about Moses or giving credit to Moses. It's giving credit to the Lord from the people here. He's used. The word self is not even used here. And they're not taking any credit to what they had done. So this song here that we're looking at in chapter 15 here is basically a song of praise and worship for the Lord. If you notice, on a lot of our hymns that we sing, they're good hymns, but a lot of them are about our problems and about our burdens that we have and stuff like that. And then there's not that many that are sung unto the Lord, praising Him for what He has done. So we need to look at that and say, when we're praising God, we want to praise Him and not bring anything else into it. He should be the object of our song, our praise, our worship. That's where it has to be. Every one of us. Now, if we look at the breakdown, we got time. We look at the breakdown of this 21 verses. If you notice, I put the praising because this is what they do in these 21 verses. They're praising God for what he has done for them. The first thing we look at is the reason for the praising. And that was the death of their enemies, the rid them of their enemies, never to be bothered by the Egyptians again. So they're praising God for getting rid of their big enemy. So as they stood, I try to get a picture of this. If there was about 3 million of those Israelites coming through there and then standing on the shore, how did they all get a view of what was going on unless there was a mountain there and they were on the side of the mountain? But the Lord says they were there and they saw what was going on, and it issued a from the heart response of praise to the Lord. Here's what happened. It finally kicked in to them that God has redeemed them. God has rescued them. Because there's one thing about getting released from them, but they're still there. The Egyptians were still there. And we know they followed them and they wanted to get them back. And God took care of that and wiped them out. Now they looked and they saw never to be bothered again. Never. So the reason for their praising was because God dealt with their enemies. And they realized this glorious victory from the Lord and the release that they just had experienced. And that's the thing when you and I, when we think back and when we were saved, and before we were saved, all that we went through, and then God delivered us and God made us new with a new creation. We realize what we went through and what God did for us. We should burst out in a song of praise and worship unto the Lord for that. And it's all part of our testimony that God has given to us. And that's what we should be sharing with people, telling them, this is how I came to Christ. This is what he did for me and what he offers you, the same thing. Then we see the focus of the praising only on one individual, and that was the Lord. That's what the whole thing. The Lord and the various personal pronouns referred to him occur many times. Not only the word Lord and capital L, as I said. Remember what all the capitals are. It's talking about the great I am. It's talking about the covenant relationship they have with the Lord. And then there's the small L, and that's their Lord. There's the master, the one who's in charge of them. And then there's other pronouns, he and stuff like that, him are in there. You want to underline them and see. Now, the whole purpose of doing all that is to show you and I how much their focus was on the Lord and him alone. So we come to the conclusion that this song was sung to him, and it's all about him. And all the honors of the victory that God had procured for them was definitely to the Lord and to the Lord himself. Then we have the emphasis of the praising. And the emphasis is all on the Lord and not on Moses. Because that's all they knew, is what Moses said, what Moses did. They saw him. They were looking to him. But then they got a glimpse of who Moses was looking unto, and that was the Lord. That was the Lord. You see, when we look at this, Moses here is not even mentioned once. As you go through here, he's not even mentioned once. So what do we see here? They finally have confidence to put their faith and trust in the Lord. How about us? Are we there? Are we at that point where we have our faith and trust and confidence in the Lord that he's going to help us? Satan's going to say that, you know, he's not listening. He's not going to do anything for you. You're left on your own, yada, 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 and so on and so forth. But the Word of God tells us differently. But sometimes when we're going through stuff, we're so grieved that, boom, we start feeling down and doubting and things like that, exactly what Satan wants to do. So they had confidence in him. Take a quick look at chapter 14, the very last verse there. And notice what it says. Chapter 14, verse 31. And the Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And what happened? And the people feared the Lord. They respected Him. They honored Him. And they believed the Lord. They put their faith and trust in Him. He's someone they can trust. And His servant Moses. So they understood that Moses was His guy. He was the one that was going ahead and telling them and showing them what God wanted. He was their spokesman. He was their prophet, basically, for what God had to say to the people. So those people, us, if you want to really know some spiritual realities here, we need to focus our attention on the Lord and not on His servants. So their focus was on the Lord, not on His servants, even though they understood that He was the servant of the Lord. So the whole point is to look at the Lord. Then number four, the result of the praising. And that's to worship Him. That's to worship Him. When self is forgotten in our eyes, in their eyes, and are turned totally to the Lord, nothing but praise comes out because of Him and what He has done. If we're not praising God, then the thing is we're not being occupied with the Lord Jesus Christ and what He has done. You realize that we're all being conformed to His image, and that's for a reason, because He is the example of pleasing God. And so when the Spirit is working in us and to us and through us, He's conforming us more and more to the image of God. And that's called spiritual maturity. And that's why it's so important for us to do what we're required to do, and that is to study, to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen that need it not be ashamed, learning how to rightly divide the word of truth. How could we learn the word of truth if we're not in the word of God? You see, it works with that. So that's what we need to do. Now, the outcome of the praising. Confidence. It built the confidence in them with the Lord. And that's what we need to have, is confidence in the Lord that He's going to help us. You know, if He says, ask and it shall be given to you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. Did He lie? No. Why don't we look at that? Why don't we claim them, what Jesus is saying? Why don't we claim what Jesus says? In John chapter 14, where He says, if you ask anything in My name, I will do it. You see, that's what we need to understand, is God has promised to help us. And He'll help us, but in His time. But He will listen to us, and He will work with us. And sometimes if we're asking for stuff that's not right, then He's not going to give it to us until we get it right. And then He will help us. God had made promises to the nation of Israel in the beginning, and they heard this, and yet as you go through from chapter 6 on, you find out that they were doubting Him. They weren't believing Him. Turn with me to chapter 6 real quick. A couple verses there. In chapter 6, starting at verse 6 of the book of Exodus, it says, wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. This is the promise that God gave to Moses to give to the people. And I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. He says, I've got it. Just bear with me and follow me, wait on me and do that. And I will take you to Me for a people, and I will be to you a God. And ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. It's a relationship which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will bring you in unto the land, concerning the which I did swear to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob, and I will give it to you as a heritage, a possession, for I am the Lord. So this is what Moses told the people of Israel, and this is what they were told, but did they believe it? Not at all. Not a whole thing going on until they came to the point where they can see it. Do you know it says the Jews require a sign? So here you see a sign that God gave them of who he is and what he can do with opening up that Red Sea. I mean, that if that's an eye-opener, I don't know what is. It's just amazing what he did. And you know, God has opened up some Red Seas for you and for me.
Hallelujah. Thank you.
And we're here, and then he has delivered us. Amen. So this is the things. You know, what's happening to them in life happens to us in their spiritual life. So those are the things that we need to know. So it's evident that the Israelites realized what God's plan was, and finally it dawned on them when they saw the bodies floating on the shore, and it was a sign of victory that God had procured for them. So you and I, we need to believe and learn to believe God, even when our circumstances are against us. Nothing happens to us unless God opens up the door. Now, we cause a lot of things to happen to us, but God says, okay, we'll get a lesson out of this. And so he'll work with us through it, whatever it might be. The Lord Jesus Christ said he'll never leave us or he'll forsake us or forsake us. Never leave us nor forsake us. He's always with us. He sees us from the beginning of our life with him until the end, till we get home to be with him. Listen to what it says in Romans chapter 8, some verses I picked out for us. In Romans chapter 8, verse 28, it says, and we know. How do we know? The Word of God tells us. All things work together for good to them that love God. The next time you and I are going through a trial, and it's a heavy trial, and we don't know if we're going to make it or not, understand what Romans 28 is. You know, this is going to work together for me. I don't see how it's going to work. I think it's going to kill me, but I know you have it to work together for good. But it's not to everybody. To them that love God, you see? To them who are called according to his purpose. And watch this. From this next verse tells us how he takes us from salvation to glorification. It says, for whom he foreknew, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn of many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. So you see the steps that God has in his plan. All this happened, and we didn't understand all that when we first got saved. But when we got into the Word of God and with the Spirit of God working with us, we start to see, wow, these are some major things that God had done for us. And there's a time coming that I'm going to be glorified. I'm going to have a glorified body, patterned out after the Lord Jesus Christ's body. And that's something to look forward to. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6, and this is a great verse, it says, being confident of this very thing, that he who had begun a good work in us will continue to perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And what does that mean? He's not going to give up on us. He's going to continue to work and work and work us in us and then through us. But this is what he's going to do. And that's why we should be praising God. You see, what happens is we're out of focus. We need to get a set of glasses, bring it into focus and say, this is where I'm at. No matter what's going on all over the place, my eyes are upon the Lord. For he's doing something in my life to conform me more to him. The sixth thing is, the confidence in the praising. Trust. And what's the confidence? God's trustworthy. We can trust him. We could trust him with sharing everything in our lives. You know, a lot of times we want to hold back. Whether we're ashamed of it or whether we don't want to talk about it, God says, We want. He wants us to get it out before Him. And He says this, like Israel, you and I should sing the song of victory. We do have victory. Even before we take that first step into the wilderness of future experiences in our daily walk, no matter what we're going through, hard times, good times, we should be praising the Lord on a regular basis. Because we have confidence in the Lord. We have confidence that no matter what obstacles you and I are going to meet, He's going to be there to meet them with us. Now, Hebrews chapter 11, that's a great chapter, because in Hebrews chapter 11, it tells us of many who had an unshakable confidence in the trustworthiness of the Lord, even when they were facing death. They had confidence in the Lord that He was going to do what was best. Are you afraid to die? We shouldn't be. I read a lot of prayers in the morning, and a lot of them are there is, thank you for another day so that I could be here. Why do you want to be here?
For me to die is gain.
That's right.
Amen.
Exactly. So what should we be doing? Thank you, Lord, for another opportunity for me to serve you. But I'm waiting to hear that trumpet call where I can be taken to be with you, to be at home with the Lord. You know, because that's where I want to be, you know. Now, I was just unfortunate to be here as long as I am, and so are you. That God has a plan for each and every one of us. You know? So He wants us to go ahead and to live for His glory for as long as we can.
Amen,
even if we're struck down with you know, a disease or something like that, or a terrific injury, and we have only a certain amount of time to live, be happy. Because absent from the body, you're present with the Lord.
Amen.
You know? The world's looking to look in the grave. We're looking to look into heaven because that's where we're going. Because of our relationship with Him. Well, I think we're going to stop there because I don't want to keep you too long.
Mm-hmm.
It's enough of stuff. But we are going to go ahead and from verse 6 on, we're going to go through. I want you to read this song here, and we're going to deal with it next week. All right? Let's look to the Lord in the word of prayer as we close. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for helping us to understand a little bit more about this song, a little bit more about what it means to be waiting on the Lord as David was waiting on you, and how we need to be waiting on you because you have certain blessings for those that wait upon you. So, Lord, as we read this song and we go through it, help us to kind of look deep into it and see the heart cry, the heart song that comes out of these people, Lord, for what you have. And help us to search our own hearts so that when we are praising you, it's coming from a heart that truly, truly loves you and truly cares and is happy of what you have done for each and every one of us. So, Lord, as we leave this place today, we ask for traveling mercies. We also ask, Lord, that you will continue to minister to our own hearts, that we will want to get more and more into the Word of God so that the Word of God will help us to know you better and that we will praise and thank you more and more each and every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.